But I have to tell you, in this hour, I have a great personal privilege. John Stanley is a dear, dear friend. Many of us remember him from his remarkable run on Creature Features on Channel 2. He has written a new book called I Was a TV Horror Host, and we are delighted to have John here in studio. John has put this book together himself. We are going to tell you how you can get it. It's very reasonably priced, and he is inscribing copies, and I'm just delighted, John, to have you here in studio.
Well, John, let me first say thank you. This is the first major exposure for this book. Won't be in bookstores for a while, so this will be a chance for those who of your listeners who are interested to pick up on a very special edition of this.
All right, now let's start out, and let me explain to you, ladies and gentlemen. John Stanley's book is replete. How many pictures in this book?
556 photographs.
My goodness. Now, let me tell you, we all remember that in the early 70s, John Stanley and Bob Wilkins were Creature Features. They talked about all of the work they did, and for more than 14 years, they entertained us and stimulated us. And, of course, we all remember John Stanley for his work at the San Francisco Chronicle, a brilliant writer. And he has written every word of this book and edited himself. And I tell you, I sat down, I couldn't put it down. So let's get to it, John, because there are so many stories for you to tell. And I want to begin with your partner, Bob Wilkins, a living legend, if you will. Tell us about
Indeed.
Bob.
Indeed. He was the most successful Bay Area television icon during the 1970s. And it all started by happenstance. We go to Channel 3 in Sacramento, KCRA. Bob is working there as a copywriter, advertising copywriter. And occasionally he goes out into the field with some of the on-air personalities from KCRA, such as Harry Martin. And he does an interview with Jack Benny up at Harris Club, South Shore Lake Tahoe. And he has a kind of simplistic on-air presentation. So one night, he's assigned to present a movie, an old horror film, Attack of the Mushroom People. And Bob looks at it and says, oh, this is a terrible picture. So when he introduces the show on a Saturday night format, a one-shot program, he has a copy of TV Guide, and he's recommending what other stations you should be watching at that hour. And this was on a Saturday night. He played, he showed the film. He spoke as honestly about the film as he felt he could. And on Monday morning, it appeared he was going to be fired because Carr Row in Roseville, the sponsors of the show, hated it. And they said, we're going to fire Bob Wilkins. Well, the executives at KCR said, now, wait a minute. You better look at the ratings first, because Bob beat out every other program in his time slot. And that was the beginning of the Bob Wilkins Creature Feature Show. It grew from there. An executive named Tom Breen moved from Sacramento to Channel 2, KTVU. He was the head of the programming department. He remembered how successful Bob was in Sacramento, and he says, I think we can bring Bob into the Bay Area. We'll put him into prime time at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. It'll be counter-programming, and we'll have him present the package of Universal horror films, the Frankensteins and Mummy movies and others. And by golly, Tom Breen was right. Creature Features in early 1971 became the Saturday night program in the Bay Area, beating out all the networks.
It was great. And, of course, John Stanley hosted the Creature Features for 6 years, and an amazing guy. Now, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to talk about Lucille Ball, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Leonard Nimoy, Gene Roddenberry, William Shatner, Vincent Price, Ray Bradbury, Christopher Lee, George Romero, Anthony Perkins, many more that John Stanley met. And by the way, if you get this book, not only do you get it signed by John Stanley, but you will see all the pictures and hear all the stories. We can only do so much in an hour. The book is available from stanleybooks.net. That's stanleybooks.net. Or you can dial this number to get the book. It's not in bookstores. So I'll repeat the number repeatedly during the show. 650-355-355. 7323. And John is going to make it available at $20 per book plus shipping. So it's a marvelous deal, and I can only tell you it's a great book. When we come back, we'll get all the answers to all the questions. Already the board is lighting up. I don't blame you. To have John Stanley, who is himself a legend in the broadcast business here in studio, is just great. 808-0810. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we have some sound that you are going to love when we come back, right here on KGO. I'm John Rothman. With me in studio, John Stanley. And, of course, that, the very first... Why are they screaming? The first Creature Features lead-in. We'll play more of that as we move on through the morning. All right, John, let's get right to it, and let's talk about some of the people.
Fire away, John.
Let's start with Lucille Ball. I don't associate her with horror. How does she fit in?
She is the woman who saved Star Trek from cancellation before the show ever got on the air.
How?
Because Star Trek was originally a Desilu production. And in 1957, Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball bought RKO Studios and renamed it Desilu. And after they divorced in 1960, Lucy single-handedly took over as the head of the board of directors at Desilu and was making all of the top decisions from about 1960 until 1967 when she finally sold the studio to Paramount. Now, in early 1966, Star Trek was on their production schedule, and it had also been temporarily placed on this NBC television schedule for the fall, September of 66. So they were calling up Desilu saying, can you give us a commitment to Star Trek? We want to book Star Trek for Thursday night. Are you going to produce it for us? And all of the executives, all the financial executives at Desilu came to Lucy and said, cancel Star Trek. Don't produce Star Trek because Gene Roddenberry is a madman. He's spending hundreds and thousands of dollars above and beyond for each episode. He will bankrupt this studio. We'll all be out of here in 6 months. He'll destroy the studio. Well, there was Lucy being bombarded by all of these executives warning her and telling her, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Now, here's the irony, John. She was now running the studio that previously had been RKO, and in the late 30s, Lucy had been a contract player at RKO. And she recalled that she came to work one morning to be told that her contract had just expired and her services would no longer be needed. There would be no contract renewal. And all she could remember of that moment in the very same studio that she now was the boss of, how horrible she had felt. And she did not want to have to tell a wonderful group of actors such as Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner and all the rest that they were going to be out of work. She didn't have the heart to tell them that. And that is the only reason she didn't cancel Star Trek. She said, nope, I went ahead and green-lighted Star Trek.
And the rest is history.
And here's the irony, John. She sold Desilu for $18 million to Paramount. Now, Paramount and Desilu were side by side. A wall separated them. So all Paramount had to do was tear down the wall, and now they had a larger studio. And they also bought the rights to The Untouchables, Mission Impossible, and Star Trek. Star Trek at that time was just going into its final season on NBC and very soon would become dormant. And it would set in the closet for the next 10 years as a dormant property. But think about, in 1979, the first feature film came out, and then all of the other films and television spinoff shows. Do you realize how many billions of dollars Paramount made from that one property, and more than paid back for the studio that they bought?
And you all have to know, the reason that we know this story is because John Stanley writes about all the people he interviewed.
Well, Lucy told me that story in her backyard one night in 1975. She and Jackie Gleason and Art Carney were having a little press party for some projects they were doing, and I just happened to be in L.A., and I was told that only out-of-town press could attend, so I went over to Lucy Tracy's house on North Broxbury Drive in Beverly Hills. Didn't even know where I was going because they wouldn't tell me who was going to be there. Got there. There was Lucy, and there was Art Carney and Jackie Gleason, and we spent the evening in the backyard just reminiscing, talking, and I just had to ask Lucy, about Star Trek, because I knew that she had been in the development of the show.
The book is available from stanleybooks.net. The number, 650-355-7323. It's $20 plus shipping. And he'll inscribe it. Tell him how you want it inscribed. It's the perfect holiday gift, although the holidays are a bit away. It's the perfect birthday present. And frankly, it's just a great book to have in your library. I love this book. I couldn't put it down. Wait. Arnold Schwarzenegger. The night he vowed, I'll be back, years before he made The Terminator. Tell us the story.
1977, Pumping Iron has been made. He's still not a household name yet. And he was hired by ABC Television to play a villain in an episode of The Streets of San Francisco. Now, Carl Malden and I had become good friends over the years when the show was being produced here. And occasionally Carl would actually call me and say, we're doing something kind of unusual with this show. Do you think you might want to send somebody over to, check it out? Well, he told me about this unusual bodybuilding guy who had a remarkable sense of humor, a very colorful guy, and maybe he would make an interesting story for the paper. So a few days later, I went over to Fisherman's Wharf one late afternoon. I met Mr. Schwarzenegger, and we went into the cocktail lounge or the bar area, and it was dessert. It was around 5 o'clock. There weren't too many people there, and we were having our first drink. And this beautiful cocktail waitress who had brought us this drink in a short miniskirt and a low-cut blouse came up to the table and furtively looked around and said, Arnie, I won't be able to come up to your hotel room tonight. We have very strict rules here at the hotel about fraternizing with the customers. And Arnold looked at her like he had been utterly insulted and said, not to worry. I tell you what we do. He says, I will go up to my room. You will go outside to the side of the hotel. I will throw a rope down to you. You will grab the rope. I will pull you in through the window and close the window, and no one will ever know.
Only if you read this book do you get all these stories. It's absolutely astounding. Okay, Leonard Nimoy, and you ask a question. Will these strange ears ruin the image of Mr. Spock?
Well, before Star Trek hit the air in the summer of 1966, I was invited to go to Desilu and to meet some of the new faces that would be on the show. And I got this pitch over the telephone that indicated to me they seemed to be concerned about this show because at that time, most of the science fiction shows that were on television were of a juvenile nature. There was Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Lost in Space was very popular. And because Star Trek was going to give us an alien with pointed ears, and they tried to keep making a very sharp point that, now, we don't want you to get the wrong idea about the ears or about the strange green color. The man has green blood, and there's going to be some strange makeup, and we don't want you to think that it's some juvenile thing that we're doing here. So everybody on the set, from Gene Roddenberry, who I talked to Leonard Nimoy, both were very uneasy about how the public was going to accept their show, but were trying to explain to me that we are trying to produce an adult science fiction series, and so on. And so I was very impressed with Leonard Nimoy. It was the first time I had met him. And up to then, he hadn't done very much except play minor parts on various half-hour shows. He said, I'm usually typecast as an Indian or an Italian gangster. He said, that's about my range right now. Anyway, it turned out that this character he was so concerned about would, of course, change his future forever and open up incredible doors. But that was the beginning. Very uneasy, very, very uneasy. And so was Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry kept defending his program, trying to set it apart from all of the others that were then currently on.
You talk about, with Roddenberry, career betrayal behind the scenes of Star Trek. Explain it.
Yes. This is the dark side to the history of Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry created the show and had written and written and produced those first 3 years. And now a turbulent motion picture was to come out of all these plans that were started and dropped. There were plans for a TV series. They were going to bring in one director. He didn't work out, so they would bring in another. And so much money was spent, and there was so much turmoil within the hierarchy of Paramount Studios that at the end of the making of this film, Gene Roddenberry was relegated to a non-producing position. He was given credit, but he no longer put his hands on the project. And yes, his name would be up in the credits, but he would no longer be one of the driving creative forces. Other producers replaced him, and he got shoved to the background.
800-8080-810 is our number here. We have a couple of lines open. You're welcome to call, and we're going to get to your calls, but I've got more questions. StanleyBooks.net, that's where you go to order the book. Or you can call John Stanley directly. It's 650-355-7323. This is his first major appearance. It's a brand new book. It's absolutely phenomenal. I love this book. $20 plus shipping. You can't go wrong. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, Christopher Lee, Anthony Perkins. We have just begun when it comes to horror, right here on KGO.
Welcome to Welcome to History in the Making, because tonight, not only do I have a good movie, Invaders from Mars, but I'm going to show you footage from the making of Alien, a short subject never before seen on West Coast television. For the first time, you're going to see scenes of the alien as you've never seen them before. Now, you'll see that eccentric, enigmatic Swiss designer, H.R. Giger, at work on the set.
John Stanley describing creature features. It's absolutely astounding. And, of course, the book is phenomenal. John, let me ask you directly, if I can, a wonderful story about Vincent Price.
Yes, Vincent Price was appearing with the San Francisco Opera doing some readings. And so I heard he was coming to town, so I got a hold of him and his agent and invited them to be my guest on Creature Features, and I was turned down. I was told that Mr. Price wanted to have nothing to do with any kind of program that dealt with creatures. Well, I called back, and I tried to reason with him, and I just couldn't get anywhere. So finally I said, would Mr. Price have lunch with me if I was simply a reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle and would write about his appearance with the San Francisco Opera Company? And he agreed to do that. And during our set-down interview, he totally denied that he was a horror icon. He dismissed it all. He said, I'm a connoisseur of good food, good wines. I'm a stage actor. I'm a motion picture actor. But please do not call me a horror star. Well, that was our first meeting. Our second meeting came about 7 years later. He was now married to Coral Brown, the wonderful Irish actress who had been a big star in the West End stage. And they were together, and they were like lovers, holding hands, kissing each other, calling each other sweetheart and dear as I did the interview with him. And this time he had relaxed. He had finally been able to accept his notoriety as a so-called horror star, and he was willing to talk about it, and he admitted he was a horror star, and he told me various vignettes about this picture or that picture. Always interrupted with a sweet look over at Coral Brown, a kiss on the lips, a peck on the cheek. They were like two little teenagers who were smooching up in the balcony, and it was wonderful to see these people in the twilight of their life, so happy together, two lovebirds together.
I Was a TV Horror Host is an amazing book. You can get it from StanleyBooks.net. That's stanleybooks.net. Or you can call this number, 650-355-7323. The book is not in bookstores. John has produced what I think is a classic. It's only $20 plus shipping, and if you call that number or you email him at stanleybooks.net, tell him how you want it inscribed. He will do it. 556 photographs, countless ones in print for the first time. When we come back, oh boy, there's more, particularly my friends. Boris Karloff. We'll tell you that story when we come back. It's 1:31 here on KGO. I am John Rothman, and I want to tell you there's one guy who's not at all scary, and that's Bob Gawa.
Come to me.
John Stanley is with me. His new book, I Was a TV Horror Host, absolutely marvelous. Again, available at stanleybooks.net or by calling 650-355-7323. $20 plus shipping. We had a listener who called who wanted to know about Bob Wilkins. And, of course, it's a sad story, isn't it?
A little. It has a sad ending, yeah. It's not over yet, but... Bob moved up to Reno in the early 90s to work for John Esquaga at the Nugget, and around 1994 had a heart attack, and the doctor told him the work is too great for you, you better lay off that. So he retired, and just last July, we helped to move Bob down from Reno to Sacramento. And in March, we had two tributes to Bob Wilkins because he now has advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease. So Bob made two public appearances, which I believe are probably going to be his last appearances.
We've answered that question. There are many more listeners who have questions, but I've got to do a few things here with you. Because it's so important that you tell some of these stories. Ray Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury so inspired me when I was around 10 years old. He really changed my life. He made me feel different about myself and my whole world around me. So in 1968, when I had my very first face-to-face meeting with Ray at his office in Hollywood, or actually in Beverly Hills, I was telling him of how he changed my life. And he said, oh, yeah. He says, I know what you're talking about. You see, we're all born with a sleeping child within us. And then as we discover all the wonderful things of life, as we discover music, as we discover art, as we discover the opposite sex and good food, and we discover movies, parts of that child are awakened until finally, when that child is fully alive, it becomes our sense of wonder. It's what keeps us going day to day. And John, be careful. Never let your sense of wonder fall asleep. Sometimes I meet people, I look at them, I talk to them, and I know that their sense of wonder has returned to that sleeping child. Don't listen to the pontificators, the intellectuals. Follow your instincts. Follow your heart.
It's a great story. Boris Karloff. You never interviewed Boris Karloff.
Bob Wilkins did.
Yes, tell us about that.
Bob Wilkins interviewed Boris Karloff in 1968 at a time when Boris was on a respirator or oxygen. Mm-hmm. I believe he was in the wheelchair most of the time. And there has survived Bob's interview. It can now be found on one of the DVDs that Tom Wyrsch puts out. You can get those on the Bob Wilkins website. Just do a search and you can find that. It's easy to find.
You're in touch with Boris Karloff's daughter, who loves this book.
Sarah Karloff gave me a wonderful endorsement. I call her the daughter of the Frankenstein monster. Sarah is just wonderful. She's in her late 60s now. She and her husband, Sparky, have done so much to keep the Boris Karloff image alive and living. She's the one who created, paved the way for the stamps, the federal U.S. stamps, Boris Karloff, Lugosi, and... Cheney Jr. and Jr. Senior.
Right.
Yeah. She's been responsible for those stamps. And she's just wonderful.
Anthony Perkins.
Ah, yes. Anthony Perkins. I had the opportunity to see the first Psycho sequel, so I was told that I could do an introduction for the TV show in front of the Psycho House. So I dreamed up an opening.
Wait, where's the Psycho House?
The Psycho House is on one of the back lots at Universal Studios, and it's part of the tour. If you go on the Universal tour, a tram will actually take you there, and you can see the hotel, you can see the house above it. And it's one of those ongoing features. Anyway, I stood on the steps, I did my introduction, and I told the cameraman, I want you to do a separate close-up of me where a knife will be pushed up against my neck. And he didn't understand what I was trying to do. I said, just photograph it, and I'll explain later. So we photographed it, and what I needed was an off-camera voice of Anthony Perkins, once the knife comes up against my neck, saying, "Welcome, Mr. Stanley, and we're glad you're here at the house. You see, Mother is receiving visitors again, and she wants to see you right away." Well, it wouldn't have made any sense without the voice. So I went to interview that same day. I sat down with Anthony Perkins, and I asked him to read a wild line, and he agreed to do it. He sat in front of the microphone, he read the line for me, and later my sound editor put the line into the piece, and it became the talk of Universal later on. They all called up and said, "John, how did you get Anthony Perkins' voice?"
No, that's great.
But anyway, while I was interviewing Anthony Perkins, I had the butcher knife, and I brought it out, and I said, "Mr. Perkins, would you please hold this butcher knife while we're doing this on-camera interview? Perhaps you'd like to clean your nails with it or fiddle with it. It might make you more relaxed and comfortable." And he frowned at me, and he says, "I think that would be in very bad taste." And he refused to hold the butcher knife.
John Stanley's book is just wonderful. I was a TV horror host. It's impossible in an hour to cover all of the stories in this remarkable book that includes 556 photographs, countless ones in print for the first time. You can get the book by calling or by emailing first stanleybooks.net or by calling 650-355-7323. John has agreed to autograph all the books that are ordered from this show. It's $20 plus shipping. It's a bargain. I'm telling you, this is just wonderful.
Yeah, and PayPal is on the website at stanleybooks.com, and they can order by PayPal also.
Oh, that's great. 800-810-810 is the number right here on KGO. Okay, I promise you, we're going to go to your phone calls. I know many of you have questions. This is John Rothman, and you are listening to KGO News Talk 810, where our time now is 1:42.
Why is this man helping Creature Features host John Stanley aboard this hearse? Whose mummy is this? And why will she follow John Stanley to the bitter ends of the world? And will John Stanley stand the test of the ordeal of weapons? Tune in and hear John say,
"I don't like your attitude, Taylor."
"I know, I get a lot of complaints about it."
John Stanley's wacky world of Creature Features. See John Stanley strangled by a killer corncob fiend in Attack of the Incredible Killer Scarecrow, Saturday, February 12th at 11:30 on the Channel 2 Creature Feature. Casablanca, land of intrigue and mystery, haven for misfits and refugees from justice. In John Stanley's new mini-movie, Return to Casablanca. The Casablanca, hotbed of international spies, where danger awaits the intruder, and Devil's Island is the destination of the losers. Dangerous, exotic women who will stop at nothing to fulfill their desires. See John Stanley in Return to Casablanca, Creature Features.
Now that dangerous, exotic woman might be Frances Stark, but we want to be careful about any attributions here on the program. 800-810-810 is the number again. My guest is John Stanley. Look, for those of us who love Creature Features and those of us who love what John Stanley did, it is a high honor and real privilege to have him here in studio and to have his book available. Let me ask you about somebody who is a living legend, and then I promise I'll go to the phones. Okay, everybody, I promise. Christopher Lee. This man, you describe him as he almost walked off the set and left
yes.
you bloodless.
Christopher Lee, I had arranged for him to be on the show, and I had a lot of material prepared for him where we got to do 15, 20 minutes of segments. He arrived late. He didn't arrive at the studio until I was already taping my very first segment. And when he walked into the studio, this is what was happening, John. I had been told a few months earlier that they were going to build me a brand new set. I had to work 6 months to prove to them that I could replace Bob Wilkins, and my reward was going to be a brand new dungeon-styled set. So I decided to do a little shtick. And the weeks leading up to it, I had some members of a Star Trek group come in, and they carried hammers and saws and boards and lumber, and I had them milling around as if they were building the set, and I even had sound effects of hammers and saws coming over the loudspeaker system. So when Christopher Lee walked in, he looked around, he saw all this stuff going on, he didn't quite understand it, and he turned to my wife, Erica, and said, I really don't think this is the kind of program I should associate with. And he turned around to walk out the studio door, and right above the door was a monitor, and I was on camera introducing my interview with Ray Bradbury that I had done a few weeks earlier. So Christopher Lee stopped when Ray Bradbury popped onto the screen. Ray is talking away about all these wonderful things, and he got hooked on watching the interview. And when the Ray Bradbury piece was finished and the lights came on and the segment was finished, he came back to Erica and said, well, if it's good enough for Ray Bradbury, I guess your program is going to be good enough for me. And he stayed. And we did wonderful material. You know, we did what we had to do. But it came so close to losing him. If he had walked out that door 10 seconds earlier, I would have lost him.
John Stanley, and by the way, we will not lose John Stanley because of his book. I Was a TV Horror Host. Absolutely marvelous. Again, you can get it from stanleybooks.net, or you can call directly to 650-355-7323. And by the way, don't be surprised if John Stanley answers the phone himself. It's $20 plus shipping. He's got PayPal. By the way, as I'm doing this interview, Frances Stark is sitting in the booth reading the book. She loves it. 8080810. All right, let's get to some phone calls. Jose, calling from Oakland. Jose, welcome to KGO. Oops, there you go.
John Stanley, I just wanted to say you and Bob Wilkins made Creature Features great. There was other people doing similar shows, but you guys were the local guys and you ruled. The tradition continues. There's a young kid called El Lobo who does.
Oh, Eric Lobo. Eric Lobo out of Sacramento, a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
He's had shows off and on now, I guess syndicated, that go out all over the country.
Right, yeah, but you had a different approach than Bob's, but I always appreciated that for a while you used to always play the Gotham City Municipal band song, and that was an entertaining era of TV. I'm lucky to be from that generation. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jose.
Now, I've got to tell you something. I just happen to have the Gotham City song, and we're going to play it, but I've got to take another break. When we come back, we'll go back to your calls, and we'll come back as a gift to you, our previous caller, with the Gotham City theme song. Again, the book is available from stanleybooks.net. You can call 650-355-7323. It's $20 plus shipping, and I'm going to tell you something, you won't be able to put it down. I'm John Rothman with John Stanley, right here on KGO. Of course, you recognize it, the Gotham City Municipal Band swing song, Bob's original theme, and we're delighted. Whenever a listener asks for something, if we've got the sound, we're happy to put it up for you. And of course, we're delighted to make this book available to you as well. And you can get it signed by the one and only John Stanley by going to stanleybooks.net or by dialing 650-355-7323, $20 plus shipping. Yeah, let me tell you something. It's a bargain and just great. Let's go to Richard, calling from Santa Cruz, California. Richard, welcome to KGO.
Yeah, good morning, John and John.
Hi, Richard.
First of all, I got two questions. The first one's about KGO.
Yes.
Do you remember when KGO did Fright Nights, I believe, on Saturday night.
I sure do. I remember it. I loved it.
Do you remember who was the host?
I regret to say I can't remember.
He went on to become a very famous... He did the news for KGO, and then after the news, he did the Scary Movies. And then he went to New York to WABC. His first name was Roger Grimsby.
Oh, Roger Grimsby. Roger of course Grimsby. It was Roger. And you know what I remember? Now that you say it, of course.
Let me ask you the second
It was Grims. It was so grim that it was Grimsby.
Grimsby.
Right.
yeah. But let me ask, check this one out. You're not going to believe this one, because Bob Wilkins is famous for this. Who was Bob Wilkins' first sponsor? He was heavily into advertising, you know.
Well, the very first sponsor, if we go back to KCRA, were...
Yeah, right out of Walnut
Creek. The car row out of Roseville. But there were... Are you talking about the sponsors that were on Channel 2, KTVU?
No, the ones on KCRA. There was only one, and it started as a service industry that is still going to this day. And all I have to say is, don't cook tonight. Can you finish the rest
no.
of that slogan?
No, go ahead.
It was called Chicken Delight.
Oh, Chicken Delight.
Then after that, they had some bad chicken, remember? And then they came out with pizza. And that's what started home delivery pizza. Don't cook tonight, called Pizza Delight.
Boy,
and
you're
Bob
great.
Bob used to have the pizza delivered to the Creature Features, and he ate pizza like everybody else did during the commercials.
Oh, that's great.
All right, guys.
Okay.
All right, have a good one. Hey, tell me, I've got to ask you the story. William Shatner, your humble captain of the universe. Tell us about William Shatner.
Bill Shatner, if we look at, I'm being a little facetious here, if we put Bill Shatner into his modern context as Denny Crane on Boston Legal, I was being a little bit facetious, because Bill Shatner usually was a good interview, particularly the very first time I met him. I think they were into the second season, and he loved science fiction, and he loved to talk about all of the authors of science fiction. He personally knew a lot of the authors, like Richard Matheson and so on. And he was always very articulate, and he really appreciated and enjoyed what he was doing as Captain Kirk.
He didn't have a very good reputation, though, in terms of the personality that he projected, but you found him very agreeable?
I found him agreeable. It was some of the second bananas on the show, who I think, Jimmy Doohan, for example, I always got the feeling there was a chip on Jimmy's shoulder, that he felt that all of the stardom had gone to Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner, leaving the rest of them in the dust. And there was always this feeling when Jimmy talked about what was happening. Jimmy's the one who actually told me some of the background on what happened to Gene Roddenberry. Some of the others were reluctant to talk about that. That was sort of a dark secret of Star Trek. But Jimmy would be very outspoken. He always spoke whatever was on his mind.
One of the people you talk about is Robert Block, and how he created Norman Bates and then went absolutely psycho. Tell us about that.
Yes. Robert Block, everyone thinks he's the king of horror stories, and he is. But Robert Block was one of the funniest people that I have ever known, because he loved wordplay. He loved to tease you. He loved to lure you into his little word traps, using puns, you know, dark, macabre puns. But there was a delightful side to Bob, and Bob was great at cooperating. When I was at his house one time, I said I wanted to take a lot of pictures for the archives, and I asked him to go to the Psycho shelf. He had all of the books from all over the world. Any edition of Psycho, there it was, and it filled several rows. And he took one down, and I said, just sit in the chair and read Psycho and look like you're being shocked by your own book. And Bob gave me all these different expressions, and I was able to use some.
And they're in the book.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to, so people understand about the book, how did you choose the pictures? I mean, you've got thousands of them, but you narrowed it down.
Well, some of them I'd taken myself on my little excursions, and I'd never used them. I put them away. Others came from the television station. Negatives were given to me when I left the station after 6 years. Others are just old publicity pictures. Stuff that I have gathered, like you, John, you have collected books, political books over the years. I've collected photographs. I would bring home old press kits and I would store them away. So I just spent probably weeks going through these old press kits and old files, pulling out the picture that jumped out at you, the one picture that leaps out at you.
It's great. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you all will remember this theme.
It's the other one, Thunder Angel.
Can you feature that awful creature? Can you feature that ugly creature? Creature features.
Yeah.
And feature.
Now, this wonderful theme describes this book because it is the strangest thing. I was a TV horror host, and it stars John Stanley. He is the author of this marvelous book, ladies and gentlemen. It is available from stanleybooks.net. The phone number to call if you want to order directly from John, 650-355-7323. It's $20 plus shipping. He's got PayPal, and of course, he'll inscribe the book for you. John, last question, and I apologize, everybody. So many people want to ask you questions. Let me ask you the last question. You've written this book. What do you want people to take from it?
I would like them to take from it a composite of all of the important sci-fi and horror icons of the 20th century that I had the opportunity to meet over a 33-year period. I've chosen what I felt were the most important of those icons, and an inside personal look at them based on my exclusive set-down one-on-one interviews with them.
It's absolutely amazing. Let me give you the information one more time. stanleybooks.net, and they've got PayPal there, or you can call directly, 650-355-7323. Francis will put this up on the website, on our program log. It's $20 plus shipping. And I just want to say to you, John Stanley, who is a dear, dear friend, and we worked together for many years, that it's a privilege to have you on the program, and I want to thank you for a great gift. You have given us the history of horror as only you could tell it.
Thank you, John, for giving this book its first major plug, and I hope all your nightmares are sweet ones.
My nightmares are sweet ones? Oh, my.